Let's go to the top six at six right now as we take those calls for Lou Manfredini in just a few minutes. The North Koreans are at it again, and by that I mean Mr. Bad Haircut himself. Kim Jong-oh, what was I thinking when I cut my hair like this? Kim Jong-un and company sent a second rocket flying over Japan. North Korea fired another missile this morning, just days after, this morning our time, after the UN Security Council ratcheted up sanctions against the country. There was talk that sanctions wouldn't do anything to North Korea. Apparently it just made them angry. And since Kim Jong-un isn't afraid of starving his own people and doesn't care whether or not there's enough food or money for basic supplies, he's basically mostly concerned about whether or not he still has what he needs. And what does he need? Dave, he needs basketballs.
Apparently.
He needs junk food. He's a big junk food guy. And that's what I've maintained for a long time. If we just bombed him with Costco coupons, like Costco gift cards, where he could go in and get whatever he wants, maybe helped him open a Costco somewhere in Pyongyang, maybe he'd lighten up a little bit. Because it probably takes a lot of work to get Cheetos in Pyongyang. But Kim Jong-un's at it again, and as of now, no official response from Japan or the United States on what to do about it. Because what do you do? What do you do?
He's also apparently a big Whitney Houston fan.
Is that right?
Yes.
That may have been what killed her. Next. This is a bad story. An explosion on a train leaving the Parsons Green station in southwest London is being treated as a terrorist incident. How many people injured now, Andre?
We have 18 people injured. Thankfully, Steve, at this point, they're saying they are not life-threatening injuries at this point. That could change, but this was an IED, an improvised explosive device that was on the tube, the underground train.
Right. And nobody's to claim credit for it yet?
Not yet, but they are saying this was a terror incident.
They have
terror
reasons
incident.
To believe.
Yes, yeah. That was the national coordinator for counterterrorism in London.
Next! Hard to explain him, but then again, that's not new, is it? President Trump yesterday, in a sort of impromptu interview, what do they call this? Gaggles. Where a bunch of people throw questions at him and he stops long enough to answer them. That seems to be where the mistake starts, when he stops long enough to answer them. But at any rate, President Trump yesterday went back to his Charlottesville comments, said there were some bad dudes on the other side too, and again restarted the whole conversation about the Klan, about Nazis, and about the counter-Klan and Nazi protesters, about Antifa, and about all of it. A little while later, he signed a congressional resolution condemning hate groups. He is something, man. Boy. He is something. Pick a team. You know, it'd be great if it said your president if you picked our team. But pick a team and see if you can hold to it for 20 or 30 minutes. Meanwhile, the right, far right, Sean Hannity's party, is still very upset with him over his continued dalliance with Democrats. Wasn't I in a movie called that, Dalliance with Democrats?
I was going to say, that's an apropos title.
Yeah, the dalliance with Democrats.
Sounds like they're doing a dance, like a waltz together.
It does, a Democrat dalliance. Next! Judge going to rule later today on whether homeless folks living in Uptown's tent city that's popped up have got to move. Now, these are the folks on Lawrence, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's a community, basically, of homeless, but they've set up tents, they live there, people bring food donations there, so it's like a little community, but the neighbors and the residents in that area say, we don't want those here.
Well, it's the underpass on Lawrence is what I'm talking about. I think that's the area we're discussing, right?
That is, yes.
And Wilson Avenue as well. Mm-hmm. They're under Wilson as well.
So here's the problem. Obviously, let's get to the chase and let's be honest here. People are concerned about their property values and people are concerned about walking under the underpass and not being hassled. Is there any, to get to the beach and to get wherever they're going, is there any reports of crime or of people being hassled at this point?
I wouldn't say that more so than usual. I mean, that's an area that does, that thieves and thugs do target. Not as big as, say, Englewood, Austin, West Austin, Garfield Park, Garfield Park.
But nothing from the homeless folks that are there.
I have not
heard
anything. Have you, Steve?
It's the underpass that I take to get to the lake. I've never had a problem. They do take up much of the sidewalk. I think that's been one of the biggest complaints of folks that...
Yes, you have to walk into traffic.
And, you know, they've been there for a long time. I mean, it's almost become part of the community now, at least, you know, for me. And I live there. It's I've seen them there for years.
You know, we should also add, too, they had 39 people living there, and the city did go, I guess you'd say tent to tent, and put 23 in temporary housing. But then they wanted to come back and said, we don't want to be in housing. We want to stay here. So they were offered alternative places to go, if you will.
Well, they need to be offered an alternative place that's not on the sidewalk in traffic, and I don't know what that is. Look, there's no easy answers here, but let's not dance around the issue, right, if you're the city and if you're the people that live there. I certainly understand why people are concerned. It's human nature. But if there's no reports of any sort of crime coming out of either location, just because people are homeless doesn't mean they're criminals.
And the other part of this, too, Steve, is that, you know, the city is really, I don't want to say use the word encourage, but that's the only word that comes to mind right now. They've kind of encouraged this because over the years they've cleaned the area. They clean the area regularly. The city comes in and removes garbage and cleans, power washes the sidewalks. So they've not done much to remove them until now in this, you know, this way. And I mean, actually encouraging that. I mean, when you clean the sidewalks and remove the garbage and let them come back, isn't that sort of encouraging them to be there?
See, I would almost play devil's advocate, though, and say the city cleans up the area because of the mess that they make. And I don't think they want them living, you know, in tents as opposed to, say, somewhere else or trying to get back on their feet where they can pay taxes.
Well, but yeah, well, sure, of course. But there's also the question of whether or not living in tents is healthier than living in some of the shelters, which a lot of homeless folks, whether it's just talk amongst people or it turns out to be fact, are concerned about the danger that goes on in shelters because they're understaffed and they're underfunded. Look, it's a problem. It's a problem. And here's the deal. I don't think anybody's wrong here. I don't think the residents like Steve in the area or anybody else are wrong about being concerned about it. I don't think the homeless folks are wrong and feeling maybe they're comfortable there. And I don't think the city's wrong and not having an answer on how to get them out of there. But now it's on a judge's docket today, and we'll see where it goes from here. Forcing them to move is going to get a little dicey. Because then you'll get some other attorneys involved, I'm sure. Is this an ACLU matter? This sounds like something they'd jump on.
Possibly.
Yeah, I know there are some private attorneys that are donating their time pro bono.
How about some private attorneys donate some money and help them put them up somewhere?
There you go.
You know, our own Marlene Wells and her husband did an amazing thing, and I don't think we've ever talked about it on the air. She's this amazing woman that's worked at WGN for many years, and she and her husband helped a homeless man that was kind of stationed out in front of the studio, not far from where we do the show here, and put him up temporarily and helped him find a job, and just did it because she connected with him and felt a need to help.
See,
we can all do more. Mm-hmm. We can all do more any time, and none of us are perfect. But don't assume that a homeless person is a dangerous person. Assume that they are down on their luck and in rough shape, and charity comes in a lot of different ways, and it doesn't have to be money. Next, Floyd Mayweather. You know, at times like this, I always turn to Floyd Mayweather to make me feel better.
Oh, yeah.
Floyd Mayweather is a bad human being. He is someone who has been involved in all sorts of criminal and edgy criminal activity. Well, he's been a professional fighter and one of the greats. He's called President Trump, quote, a real man for his crude comments about women in his interview with
Access Hollywood.
Billy Bush.
Access Hollywood,
yeah.
The Billy Bush interview.
Yeah.
He's a real man. The only reason this is a story is because it's just such an outrageous, ridiculous comment. Floyd Mayweather's an idiot. Next. And let's go live to Steve's planet. NASA's Cassini spacecraft is going to burn up in the atmosphere today. 20 years in space. What did we learn from Cassini, Steve?
Steve, I'm live on Saturn, by the way, this morning. We have a broadcast feed from Saturn.
What a signal!
I know, isn't it great? It's a little delay. It's a 35-minute delay. So
that's crazy.
No, what we have learned from Cassini, first of all, is you have to say the beautiful pictures that have come back from Saturn. I mean, who would have thought we would see Saturn in a high resolution? But the other part of it is it kind of gave us more knowledge of the moons, Titan and Enceladus, which are around Saturn. Titan may have the second, scientists called it one of the most promising places for life in the universe outside of our immediate planet Earth. It has water on it. Enceladus has water on it, possibly. So these are the two places that scientists want to go desperately to see what is lurking under the surface. And
so we may have to go there. We may have to go there. You know, if we ever have to evacuate Earth, that may be our place to go.
Well, certainly, you know, in our search for life elsewhere, this would be one of the best places I would think that we'd want to send something. You know, they're putting together some missions now to see if we could do that. One of them would have to drill through the ice on one of these moons to, you know, get below it to see what's in that liquid that's there. But
yeah, Andrea's going to need to know what to wear.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry.
Something
wait,
warm.
Let me... Okay, I'm awake. Wait, what?
Oh, you dozed off during
I'm
this?
I'm sorry.
Steve and I are discussing space.
Yeah, I know. What you lost me when you said Saturn. I know that was early on.
It's the one with the rails around it.
You'll have to send $2 for the transcript.
But wait, what to wear? Shopping?
Yeah.
Clothes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
what I'm
talking about.
Yeah, do they have them all there?
Back to
something I'm talking about.
Thinking like a sundress.
We just got the message from NASA, by the way, that the Cassini spacecraft likely vaporized about 40 minutes ago. The signals are still being sent back as it takes about 35 minutes to go through space.
It's a very important scientific situation, and we should you should certainly make sure your kids at least talked about it in school. I hope school covers this.
Yeah,
because we get better science out of outer space than we do anywhere. And you wouldn't have that cell phone Andrea are using without the space program.
Wait, what? Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Well,
stop.
I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. No, this is very cool. No, I really.
Oh yeah, like no, you don't get to play our game now. It's over.
Saturn.
And okay.
Live from Saturn. Okay. Steve presented.
Steve's coming back now.
Stand by. Lou will join us in just a second, and he'll tell us whether or not we're going to need a light jacket when we're on Saturn, amongst the other thing he fixes. Steve, keep an eye on that Cassini story.
We'll do.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Well, you would expect on a Friday, Lou, after I've used up most of the brain cells that I have.
Already?
Which I believe the current count is 8.
All right.
I've used up all 8. Sandberg told me literally about 2 minutes ago who our caller was, and I don't have a screen in front of me, and I've already forgotten. Let's go live to Andrea now. Who's our caller?
Our caller would be Mike.
Mike, welcome, Mike. You're our first caller for Lou. Say hi to Lou.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Oh, we're good. Good. Never more on my game. What's your question for Lou?
I'm putting an above-ground pool in, you know, because we always do that in the fall. So I have the option of using the steel conduit or the PVC conduit, but the PVC has to be dug in deeper, and I would be the ditch digger. Which one would you recommend?
Are we talking about for electrical service?
Yes, please. Going out for the filter system.
I mean... as long as the local codes, you know, allow it, then I would say that the plastic will be much easier for you to use. You do have to put it down at the proper depth, and then I would make sure that you take a picture of it so you know exactly where it's running and keep track of it in case you ever do any planting down the line. I mean, the below ground PVC for electrical, that kind of gray looking pipe is super durable and will be there forever.
Okay, even though that's deeper, you would want the PVC?
Well, I mean, I just think that from a performance standpoint...
I just wouldn't dig. I wouldn't dig if I were you. I wouldn't dig. I mean, I don't know if you have any C4 handy, but that's a lot of work, dude.
Yeah. As long as your local code allows it, then, you know, go ahead and use it. Yeah, you got to dig a little deeper for it, but it shouldn't be that much more. I mean, with the direct burial, you should only have to be about 18 inches below grade.
Okay, perfect.
Right.
Do you have an intern?
Right.
No, I do not.
No, you need to
have
get
you thought
one.
About bringing one in.
Yeah.
Need to find a kid down the street. Lord
perfect.
Knows that.
Right.
Lou, do you know what he's won?
Yeah, I do. He's won actually, I don't know because last week it was something else.
What? Have we changed the prizes?
It was different.
Then I'm not quite sure what he's won either, but I know our fine friends at American Weathermakers are ready to make him very happy. Usually with a thermostat, you know.
Usually it was, but then last week it was something else.
Well, I've got to look at my notes then.
I know.
But it's fabulous prizes. I wouldn't hang up if I were you
wouldn't.
Because you're going to be very, very happy.
How about an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Of course, brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minute Men.
Hey, real quick, you asked the question about if we were going to go to Saturn, if we'd need a light jacket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I like the space talk.
Yeah.
Actually, you need more than a light jacket because the average temperature on Saturn, what do you think it is?
Well, today, I mean, the climate being what it is, it's got to be in the 40s.
Yeah, it's minus 288 degrees.
I was just slightly
my
off.
My sundress wouldn't work
could survive.
My heels
you
and my
definitely
sundress.
Don't want something strapless.
Minus 288. You know, I'm going to need a shawl, possibly a wrap.
And why are we pursuing this planet?
We got to go somewhere, please. Yeah,
it's a little chilly.
Right.
Lou, texters are rolling in this morning. Lou should be suggesting calling for utility locates before digging. Go ahead, do that, Lou. Go do that right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to do any kind of digging in your backyard or in the front yard, you should contact Julie or Digger. I didn't know if the caller lived in Chicago, but it's a free service that the utility provides, and they'll come out and mark everything. If there's gas lines or any kind of electrical lines, the caller is absolutely right. You need to make that call before. IllinoisOneCall.com, I believe, is the website.
Texter 269, Lou, how do you turn a dishwasher into a floor scrubber? ... Give him a bucket and a brush. Thank you, Texter. Thank you. 312, Lou, my kitchen cabinets are gross and need degreasing. New counters and paint. I need to clean these bad boys. What am I doing?
One of the best ways to clean super sticky cabinets that you've tried everything on is actually using what's called a wood amalgamator. There's a product called Howard's Restore a Finish, and it comes in different colors, so you can find them that match the color of the cabinets that you have. Then you use quadruple zero steel wool, and with the grain, you apply this Howard's, and it's almost like giving your cabinets a facial, and it will renew the finish. You wipe it then with a clean cotton rag, and you'll be amazed at the results.
And finally, we've got a plug here, kids, and I think it's an important one. Tomorrow, one of the great legends of the National Hockey League, Lou Manfredini, will be live at the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. Where were you? Are you going to be inside?
No, we're going to be outside, so we'll be in the parking lot right next to the United Center, and they have all these – we did this last year. It was really a lot of fun. They have all this stuff set up for both adults and kids to come out and have fun. You do not need a ticket to attend the outdoor festivities, and you just have to come down there and park somewhere. It's really a lot of fun, and there's a great crowd out there. We're actually going to be – Tony Esposito is going to be stopping by, Dennis Savard, and we'll talk a little bit Hawks and answer home improvement questions from – folks that are visiting, as well as on the phone line, starting at 7 a.m.
And Steve, just a note that there are no tickets for the activities inside the United Center.
Right.
Those are gone, but there's plenty of room for you outside of the Training Camp Festival.
No, that's sold out as well. The outside, all of outside is sold out
as well. No, don't say that.
There's no room for anyone in Chicago.
Right.
No, of course there is. Come on over. Dave, you've been there. I've been there. It's a great time.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
Yeah, and there's this annual tradition where Jonathan Taves comes by and giggles when he says the word cock.
Right.
Because he says it in Canadian.
Right, he does. Right.
What are you doing on TV?
Today we're going to talk about home security and some inexpensive do-it-yourself security systems that you can buy and install within minutes.
All right, good. Because we're all short on time, as are you, my friend. Thank you.
Love you.
And love you back.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And we continue. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio and on Twitter at Cochran Show. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. We got these sold-out Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival tickets. And, Dave, you wanted us to sell these to the listeners. I think we should give them away.
Okay, Steve, I have never suggested we sell them. We could auction them, maybe. No. We should give them away.
So we will do that in just a few minutes. I would advise you, if you want to go, you're not going to get in just by your charming personality or your fine cologne. We are going to give these away before 7 o'clock. Now, on a Friday, we try to lighten things up a little bit. I mean, I got page after page of Trump stories and North Korea stories and Congress stories and problems in Chicago and problems in London and problems all over.
That sounds like the big story.
Yeah, right?
Right, at any given time.
But here's the deal. I feel like we could go with a choice of two simple stories here that could lighten things up because it's Friday. So you guys decide, quick vote here. Would you rather hear a story about seven surprising facts about the chin or squirrels are more organized than you think?
Squirrels.
Which would you prefer? Squirrels?
I'm going squirrels, yeah.
What about the chin? No interest?
Not really.
It's a funny topic.
I almost All ran right. a squirrel over on my bike yesterday.
Well, he was an organized squirrel, even if you did get him.
Wouldn't be the first time, though, Mayor.
Okay,
squirrels
Andrea.
Are probably more organized than you are, according to a study. That important story is coming up. First, Mary has a traffic update, and then when we come back, you'll also have an opportunity to win these tickets, these training camp festival tickets, and a three-year deal with the Chicago Blackhawks. I hope you can skate.
I have first, a question, Mary. By the
oh,
way,
yes.
if you want it.
Yes,
no, for the tickets, if you want.
Oh, yeah, because I'm not eligible to play, so I'm happy to take your questions at all times for the listeners.
Okay.
And, Dave, from your sitting position, do you have a question that would determine the winner?
I do. Here is the question. Name the new Blackhawk who grew up in the Chicago area and scored his first National Hockey League goal at the United Center for the visiting team.
Bobby Hull.
That's not correct, Steve.
Oh, that's incorrect.
Current player.
That's new Blackhawk. New Blackhawk.
Jay Blanc.
No, wrong. You close, but wrong.
You can't win, Steve.
Molly Connolly.
No, again, no. close,
she's
but
correct.
Wrong.
She's not a player.
Yeah, she's not a player.
You don't know what she does on the weekend.
Oh, that's true.
All right, so first correct caller, 312-981-7200. And that will be your winner of the Blackhawks tickets. All right, now, listen. I know everybody at the Hawks organization would understand. We have to get to this story. Squirrels are probably more organized than you. This is going to drive Sandberg nuts. Right?
Yeah.
The idea that a squirrel could be more organized than Sandberg?
I know. She doesn't want to talk about it.
I mean, a woman worries about how many glasses she has in her cupboard at all times. Despite having a brain slightly larger than the size of a peanut M&M, squirrels have a fascinating, razor-sharp instinct when it comes to surviving. They know that acorns are high in fat. No, they don't. No, this study literally reads they know that acorns are high in fat. I don't think squirrels are sitting around going, hey, Phil, you know, these acorns are high in fat, but it's the good fat.
And how do we know that they know that?
Well,
because they probably have good portion control.
Yes,
they
do.
Should we ask a squirrel?
Yeah. Well, they have a small stomach, so they have to have good portion control, right?
It's all relative. The acorns sprout late and are perfect for long-term storage, so they salvage them for winter. And they eat the less nutritionally dense white oak acorns right away.
Mm.
They also tend to remember where they put their acorn stash rather than relying solely on smell. That's how most men do it. Men just rely on smell.
And that's why you can never find anything?
Well, that's why you can't find anything. That's where you go, I know I put socks here somewhere. Researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, and if you're paying for a child to go to California, Berkeley, and you're wondering what they're researching, this would be it. They've unveiled a newly discovered part of a squirrel's hoarding strategy. The researchers tracked 45 wild fox squirrels on the UC Berkeley campus for 2 years. I love the fact that these kids got paid for this. They made available to the squirrels four different types of nuts, walnuts, pecans, almonds, and hazelnuts. Oh, I like a hazelnut. You guys a hazelnut fan?
Yeah.
No,
I like hazelnut coffee.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think the squirrels do.
You never know. If you see a tiny furry creature waiting for his cup to be handed to him and it says, Fill the Squirrel by a Starbucks barista, you'll know.
Yeah.
Sometimes the animals were given a single type of nut, and other times the nuts were mixed. Either way, the squirrels promptly sorted and stored their food according to type. Walnuts went in one hiding place, almonds in another, and so on.
Oh, it's like their own little cabinet, their own little yes. spice rack, if you will.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some squirrels even had a lazy Susan that they could spin around so the nuts would come up in order. The type of behavior is known as chunking, not when you're playing golf, and it makes it easier to retrieve data and memory. In doing so, a squirrel won't have to visit several different places looking for pecans. They know just where the main supply is.
Squirrels Steve, can this is what I say at my house. If you put stuff in the place it was meant to be originally, you'll be able to find it, like the scotch tape that people like to not return to the right drawer in the kitchen.
You are a squirrel.
I am a squirrel.
Squirrels can stockpile up to 10,000 nuts a year, Bragger. So it's essential for them to know which type of nut is where. I mean, they've got themselves, I mentioned Costco, they've got a Costco of nuts right there in their own little squirrel world. So this weekend, when you see squirrels frolicking in your backyard, hey, man, it's a work day. They're taking nuts from one side to put them in another place. The squirrels are organized. They're happening. I'm waiting for one of those life improvement books to come out, but I don't speak squirrel, and I bet their handwriting is terrible. So how would they ever get it to the publisher to have it transcribed and made into a book? I don't know. But I'm inviting all squirrels who are ready to talk about their incredible organizational system to come on this show, because I guarantee a Sandberg will book you.
Oh, yes, I will. And I also have terrible handwriting.
Ray, I'm sorry, that's the entire squirrel story. I'd love to tell you more, but that's all I know about squirrels.
He fell asleep.
Ray?
Hello? Hello, Ray?
We're on till 10. We're going to wait.
Hello? Hello?
There he is.
He's hoarding.
Ray, were you hiding your nuts?
Steve.
I was just talking about squirrels. Filthy people. All right, Ray, Dave's going to give you the question one more time. Go ahead, Dave.
All right, Ray, it was named the new Blackhawk who grew up in the Chicago area and scored his first NHL goal at the United Center for the visiting team. Ray, who is he?
Tommy Wingles.
You got it.
Well, some are excited, both of you.
Good old Tommy.
Hey. Pair of tickets to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival tomorrow. Who are you going to bring with you?
I'm going to bring my son. It's awesome, man. Thanks.
All right, good times. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Hold on, and please take care of your nuts.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Well, I know Dave's fired up for tomorrow night's action under the lights.
Absolutely.
Coach Fitz sponsored by?
By the Fields Auto Group.
What time is pregame to run at?
Tomorrow night. Actually, I guess I should have warned the folks up at Northwestern that Carm and Harry are going to be out there for the beat starting at 4 o'clock. And then we go on with our pregame at 6.
We could have security and make sure they don't get in.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
It's probably not a bad call. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good morning.
Nice to have you on, as always. All right, now I know you've been answering these questions all week, but you haven't been answering them here. What the hell happened?
No, I really haven't answered any questions. So how about BG? Let's talk about that game.
There are anomalies in football, and when I looked at the score last weekend, that looked like the Anomaly Bowl.
Yeah, there were about five momentum plays that we had opportunities to change the game, and we went 0-for-5, and you know, like I said, after the game, there's no excuses and no explanations. We got to coach the guys better and got to execute. And, you know, our opponent played very well. And you couple that without taking advantage of a handful of opportunities. And, you know, the score, I think, is a little bit misleading. But, you know, came out of it. And the guys have had a great week of practice and fired up for tomorrow night. Playing under the lights, kind of taking you back to high school Friday nights when it was nothing but a blast playing with your buddies at home.
It should be nothing but fun, and Bowling Green's off to a rough start. It's a smaller program, and they're kind of in a rebuilding phase, but they had a game they should have won last week, and they didn't. Does that make a difference going into this?
Not really. I think especially based on the way we're playing right now, we've got to be, you know, much more consistent, and you know, you respect everyone you play, and you put your focus on yourself. And you know, like I said, the guys had a great week. We got to take that preparation out of the game. You know, Dave and I talked even before last week. You know, for the game, we haven't had a preparation problem. The guys have been working their butts off, and I'm very proud of them for that. We just got to get them to be, you know, more consistent on Saturdays, and, you know, a big part of that's on us as coaches.
How much healthier are you this week than you were going into Duke?
Yeah, you know, we're getting there, Dave. Mm-hmm. it's a part of our game. You know, there's no excuses. The next guy's got to step up, and, you know, you see it all over the game of football right now. You know, guys are getting – you know, bruised up, and the next guy's got to step up. So, you know, I anticipate guys will continue to get better and improve, and, you know, the next guys will be ready to play.
There was a targeting call that went against you last week against Duke, and not necessarily that specific call, but in general, if you watch college football, you're going to see it called. I think this started, what, 2013, I think, was the first year they brought it in. Is it working the way it's being implemented now, or are there changes that you, when you get together with your peers, that you guys talk about you'd like to see?
Yeah, you know, I'm an advocate for the call. I think it's the right call to eliminate a play in our game that we really don't need. You know, and there's a fine line between the gentleman with the ball being categorized as a runner and then being a defenseless player. And so when anything is above what we call the strike zone, basically above the letters, like baseball, above the letters, is a no-go. And when there's contact up there, you put yourself at risk for a targeting call. Last week's call was the right call. Tough call, but was the right call. And, you know, we've just got to do a better job coaching in that situation. And, you know, but I'm an advocate for it, especially with three boys playing football. You know, we need to get those hits above the shoulders out of our game. You know, the area where you're not really seeing it eliminated is the NFL, which is interesting to me. You know, they just call it unsportsmanlike. There's no ejections. I think it would change a little bit if all of a sudden you got ejected from a game.
You think we're headed there in the National Football League?
You know, I really don't know. I'm obviously not a part of that level, and they're not doing it for a reason. I'm sure it's got something with collective bargaining and paychecks and fantasy
right.
football.
you right.
know, which obviously at our game we're and just like the NFL, I think we're all focused on player safety. You know, I think it's definitely changed our game, and it's changed it for the better. So hopefully we'll continue to be better coaches and take that hit out of the game.
A little preview of the action tomorrow night. What do you like going in? What are you concerned about? What do you want fans to see?
Well, I want to see us get off to a fast start and be consistent offensively. You know, we were really inconsistent last week. You know, we've got to do a much better job there, especially on third down. And same thing defensively. We were really good against the run. We let up too many scrambles and you know, we didn't get off the field on third down. I thought our special teams improved. So I want to just see us play more consistent football. But we're fired up. We got our students in the building for the first time. This is Wildcat Welcome Week here. We start school up on Tuesday, and it's going to be great to have the students, especially our freshman class. The running of the freshmen here this weekend, it's going to be great. And then Dave and I have some good friends coming to the game. Our friends from Special Spectators are coming to take right. on the game and hopefully put a little smile on the face of some young special spectators and their families and have a little bit of respite from the challenges that they're going through.
That's very cool. All right, last word to you, Dave.
Well, you mentioned night game. There is a little something extra when you guys play at night. You mentioned the Friday Night Lights, but what is it about these night games that gets everybody so juiced up?
Let me put my fan hat on first. I get to tailgate all day. You know,
well, there is that.
Cool about that. You know, and hopefully everybody does it smart and looks after each other, especially our students. So I think that's a big thing. It's going to be a beautiful day, and it's going to lead into a beautiful night. And Ryan Field is it's pretty cool at night. It always has been. And you know, we don't get a chance to play a lot of night games here, so it's definitely special. Looking forward to it.
Coach, have a great time. I look forward to a big Saturday night from Northwestern football. We'll connect next week.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you guys. Go Cats. Bye-bye.
There you go. Appreciate that.
And again, brought to you by the Fields Auto Group.
By the way, Dave, you know, and Coach Fitz wouldn't be looking for a pat on the back for right. this because I know how much he enjoys right. what he does. But the demands on his time are tremendous. Mm-hmm. And there's always somebody with an incredibly worthy cause or ask, and I love how he steps up and makes time in the schedule to do the right thing, like you guys are doing tomorrow with the special fans and all the other causes he gets involved with.
Yeah.
So good for him and good for the program.
The special spectators, you remember, Steve, we had them on
yep.
a couple of years ago, and every year, and what they do is they plan a day at college football games all over the country for groups of kids who are battling serious illnesses. And so they will be at Northwestern tomorrow. They'll be at some other schools as well. But the group at Northwestern will greet the team when they arrive there. They get to go in the locker room before the team gets in there. We're going to bring them up to the radio booth. They have a tailgate party for them. So it's a really cool day for these kids, and I'm sure it's a day that they really cherish, and I know their parents do.
An animal!
Dan Hampton. Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Dan Hampton to preview the Bears and the Bucks. Hemp, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, you crazy pirate. How you doing?
doing absolutely fine. I just want to mention a couple of texters here, Hemp. I don't know if you were listening a few minutes ago when Maddie McInerney's dad was on talking about losing her last fall at the age of 16 to brain cancer. But I love this audience, and I love that they get it, and I love how involved they are. And a lot of them have texted in that they knew Maddie. One says, thanks for having Maddie's dad on. Her 9-year-old's also battling cancer. I've had a similar experience, a tremendously supportive community. Thank you for bringing awareness. And then this is one of my favorites. Once again, he got me crying like a baby. I'm a 6'1", 250-pound truck driver crying while I drive down the road. God bless his family. We are so blessed to have kids that are healthy, who are not dealing with this. And, Hamp, I know you're a great dad, and Dave. We're just lucky. We're just incredibly lucky.
No question.
And I just couldn't feel more for the McInerney family. And that is one brave dude that was on the phone with us a few minutes ago, Hamp.
Absolutely. And like the rest of us, we, you know, we say our prayers and count our blessings, and God bless that family. I mean, it's incomprehensible, the things that they've had to go through.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. All right, let's just shift gears awkwardly or smoothly, however we do it here. Bears should have won last week. We covered this a bit on Monday. It's great that they were competitive against the Super Bowl Atlanta Falcons, but they didn't get it done when they had to. So what happens in practice this week? Do you deal with that last series? Do you feel badly, or do you focus on the positives?
Well, again, there's two ways you can go. And Lou Holtz used to say, every day you're either going to get better or you're going to get worse. You don't stay the same. And the great Buddy Ryan used to say, you can't get the blues when you lose. But here's the strange little twist of this. You know, this team losing, you know, a Jarrell Freeman is truly like the heart and soul of that defense. And so it's going to be interesting to see if the rest of the guys will pick it up. Guys like Pernell McPhee and even Leonard Floyd has been around for a year now, going into a second. We need other guys to step up and try to play like captains. You know, Akeem Hicks played his butt off, you know, made that horrible mistake hitting the quarterback. But all week in practice, they've got to be ultimately saying, you know what, we worked hard and we got this far up the mountain, but we didn't get over it. We've got to keep pushing and keep working. And, you know, so many times in life, you see people, they kind of settle. They're settlers. Well, we don't need to settle. We need to find a way to get a victory. Now, I'll tell you this, you know, this is going to be a tough task going to Tampa. Now let's just kind of take a little, look around. Well, you remember years ago when the hurricane hit New Orleans, the Saints kind of rallied, used that as a motivating force, and went to the Super Bowl. Well, last week, Houston, you know, of course, getting hit by the hurricane, everyone thought they would play. They played horribly. So I'm thinking some of the teams in Florida are going to say, hey, look, just because we were struck with misfortune doesn't mean everybody's going to feel sorry for us and lay down. So I'm looking for Tampa to really give a mighty effort. They didn't play last week. Game was canceled. And here's the kind of behind-the-scenes little hidden part of this. Adam Gase was our coordinator here 2 years ago. Well, this offense that we're running is basically a derivative of Adam Gase's offense. Well, Tampa Bay was working on it for 2 weeks, getting ready for Miami in a game they didn't have to play. Oh, well, we're going to play the Bears next. Guess what? It's the same offense. So this is going to be a pretty good task because essentially the Buccaneers have had 3 weeks of work on it instead of 3 days. And the other part is, You can't hide like my kids all, you know, they don't care if I'm in the Hall of Fame. They're like, hey, Dad, take me to school. Hey, Dad,
right,
do this,
right.
do that. Well, you're not a king in your own castle. Well, guess what? the Buccaneers know everything there is to know about Mike Glennon. And trust me, they've got a game plan about how they want to go about attacking him and trying to get him in a spot where he's very uncomfortable. So it's going to be a pretty good task getting this team to rally and find a way to win on a road down to Tampa that, you know, a lot of people thought maybe this was a winnable game. I'm starting to think, wow, this is going to be a close one.
Well, Hamp, good morning. Let's go back to Sunday, and the Bears defense did a good job keeping Julio Jones in check. They did have a little problem there with Mr. Hooper, the tight end. But now they go against this Tampa Bay team. Prince Amukamara still hobbled, apparently, but Kyle Fuller is getting praise from Vic Fangio, but these guys have to deal now with Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, and the tight end O.J. Howard. So is this potentially an even tougher assignment for these guys? You would think going against Atlanta was tough enough.
Well, it's not going to be easy. I personally think Julio Jones is you know, the man. We did a pretty good job on him, and yeah, a lot of that credit has to go to not only Marcus Cooper but to Kyle Fuller. Those corners, they had him pretty much straight up a lot of the day, and that's a good thing, and that's good work. And they'll need to be, you know, all hands on deck this week because, like you just said, Mike Evans is a really good player. Well, what's the best thing you can do for a really good player? Get him some other good players so that he won't be doubled. And that's what they did. When they got DeSean, you know, speed demon, take the top off. And then this O.J. Howard, he's got an incredible upside. He's, you know, very fast for a 255-pound tight end. So not only that, but when you compound it with the 94-degree heat that we're going to be, you know, having to deal with, those corners, they're going to need to be hydrated, and we're going to need to be, you know, rotating some guys in. Obviously, the cramps and the heat frustration, this is going to be tough. And you know that last year we were in a pretty close game, but Tampa made a couple of plays that kind of busted it open. You know, the interception by Cutler, and then, of course, the extended 13-second play by Jameis Winston for the backbreaker. So, you know, a lot of times those are the plays that happen when you're tired and you're not thinking correctly. And, you know, the blown play, there was a difference in the game this past weekend by Quentin Dimms. Yeah, I mean, on paper, you could say we match it pretty well, but the conditions that I think we're going to experience come Sunday, this is a tough task. And I'm just saying, you know, I've always maintained that John Fox doesn't really, you know, motivate this team as much as I'd like to see, or as much as I've seen other coaches motivate their team. But this team needs to realize, hey, this is a winnable game. Because guess what? We got the mighty Steelers next week, and the week after that, on Thursday night, go to Green Bay. So if you don't want to be 0-for, this is where you got to draw a line in the sand and make a stand.
Yep.
All right, so here's the bottom line. You've got the emotion of the hurricane recovery. You've also got, as you discussed, the Mike Glennon inside knowledge. You've got the fact that they've had 2 weeks to get ready. Hamp, this adds up to a blowout. I'd like to have more faith.
You're listening to me. You must be making notes. This is amazing.
I never miss a word.
Your earbuds in.
Listening to the best of Air Supply. All right, around the room, let's go with predictions. Dave Innitt.
All right, well, I call me an optimist, call me crazy. Somehow I think they're going to find a way to go in there and win 23-20 over the Bucks.
Bucks 34, Bears 10.
21-20 Tampa. Again, and I think, you know, we have to be fair and say, hey, this team has made strides, but the day I saw the schedule, the day they released it in June, I knew there was, you know, there's trouble. there's trouble on the stove here, and it's brewing up where this is just going to be a tough spot to find a win. But in a game like this, and I understand you saying, hey, this could be a blowout, and it could, but you know, John Fox likes to try to run the ball. We didn't do it enough last week, but Jordan Howard could keep us in it. The defense could keep us close. Find a way to get late in the game and make a play. You've seen it millions of times where the player that was, you know, ousted, that was sent packing, somehow they come back and they get their just rewards and basically get revenge. Wouldn't that be great? I kind of see it the other way. There's a reason why Tampa Bay said see ya. And unfortunately, we're going to have to deal with a lot of that come Sunday.
Well, much like the listeners, I'm counting on me being wrong. I picked the Bears last week. I picked the Bucks this week. And we'll talk about it on Monday, and you'll hear the three Bears break it down. All the best, Hamp. Thanks, buddy.
Have a great weekend. Go Bears!
Go Bears!
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Time for Dean. Little Deanie Richards live from Channel 9. Happy Friday. No, I'm good. How are you? That's great. Don't you like Andre when Dean and I share
do,
like this?
I do. You know what, though? I think it's a moment of reflection, kind of like a moment of pause. You know, you're
where
both.
You sit back and you think about what you've done, what you haven't done.
I think you guys are both thinking about how much you appreciate each other at this moment.
Do your French guys together.
Thought. Let's go live now to Dean at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean. Once again, you've been listening to Dean Richards.
Again, he's reflecting, Steve.
Dean is sponsored by who today, Andre?
Dean is sponsored by our friends at Hyundai.
And they would love to have this segment on the air.
I drove a Hyundai once.
It's a fine vehicle, sure.
Yeah,
no,
I used to have one.
Congratulations to all of you who own one. let's go live now to Dean, who's been standing by waiting for us to introduce him. Good morning, Dean. And again, I think this is some of our finest work.
This is
again,
really
no,
think
moments
this is
of reflection.
You go in the
really
archive.
Positive. All righty. Somebody pop him up on a phone line.
He's
we got
phone.
A technical problem. Hey, Dean, I didn't have a chance to introduce you yet. How are you?
Hey, Hollywood.
Did we have a problem with our microphone? Did we have a Channel 9 problem? What's going on?
No, I'm still out of town.
Oh!
I'm still out of town. I thought you guys knew that I was still out of town.
So that's the. When you say out of town, you mean not interested in going to work today. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
I've been watching promos for CNN's host Anthony Bourdain, who the promo runs about every 3 seconds. Here's the headline.
Yes.
Here's the headline of the morning, as far as I'm concerned. CNN host Anthony Bourdain says he would poison Trump if somebody would let him cook for him. I don't.
Wow.
I don't think that's going to help him. I think that's a Secret Service visit.
That does not seem so smart to me. Did he actually say those words?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, on the upside, you know this Martin Shkreli creep, the pharma bro, this guy that raised the price of an AIDS drug through the roof?
Yes.
He paid $2 million for an exclusive Wu-Tang Clan album a couple of years ago just because he didn't want anybody else to have it. He wanted the only copy for $2 million. Turns out it's not actually a Wu-Tang album, and he can't get his $2 million back. Somehow that makes me smile this morning.
Hello, karma. Hello, karma. Maybe Anthony Bourdain can cook for him.
So that would make more sense, and there'd be less Secret Service involved. Hey, what's going on with Lady Gaga?
I don't know. what is going on with Lady Gaga, Steve?
I got a headline here that says she's in the hospital with severe physical pain.
Oh, she it's part of her new documentary. I don't think it's new, but she has been suffering from fibromyalgia, which is a very painful condition, and she has been treated for that. It's been disclosed in her new documentary. that's called 5'2", but she seems to be doing okay now. I gave her a complete exam myself, so I'm pretty sure she's okay.
Yeah, just don't affect her voice. Larry King has lung cancer. That's obviously not a good development, and Larry King is out talking about it. I think I could be wrong about this. I think he quit smoking years ago, but you know, it doesn't mean
he quit smoking 30 years ago. 30 years ago. So how's that for being scary for those of us ex-smokers? You know, I quit smoking about it's almost 30 years, but I also quit smoking.
I moved out of my parents' house 40 years ago, but they smoked a lot.
Yeah, the secondhand, right?
Almost 40 years ago. How long? Well, it's coming up. Yeah, almost. Yeah, so it's scary. It absolutely is scary. Andre, did you ever smoke?
Never, 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 never.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say. My mother's listening. I actually, you know, in college you do a cigarette here, a cigarette there. Maybe five in my entire life. And my mom just found out about
this. Is this like Chandler from Friends? I had five cartons.
No, I never, it always made me cough. It always affected my lungs. I never liked it. But again, you know, you're in college, you're at a bar, you're young. And I told my mother this when I was about 30 years old. And she said, well, how many? What? You smoked? I went, no. One or two here and there. But I am still grounded, actually.
Yeah, seems like the right move.
Right.
What's weird is that it's 30 years, and occasionally I still get cravings. After all these years, I still get cravings to have a cigarette, and I never have because, you know, I think my kind of personality that if I have one, that's going to be it. I'll be back, you know, with a heavy-duty habit. But what a terrible addiction. I'm sorry to preach to, you know, be one of those guys for people who do smoke. It's such a terrible, strong addiction that just doesn't
people,
go away.
People who know these things say it is as strong as any drug. And in some cases, depending on your own biochemistry, can be even worse. All right, movies this weekend, anything opening up?
There's a new action film that's called American Assassin that stars Michael Keaton and a young actor named Dylan O'Brien. This Dylan O'Brien, he's like the young upstart trainee for a secret government agency. Michael Keaton is the old grizzled, veteran who's been assigned to try to corral all the energy in this guy and try to train him and, you know, get him, set for a mission that could save the world from being nuked. Kind of a topical storyline in this movie. It's actually pretty good. It's, Michael Keaton is, you know, think Bruce Willis.
Yep.
Older actor who can still really, really kick some butt. Bring some dramatic chops to the whole thing. This young Dylan O'Brien is a good actor. Sanaa Lathan also co-stars in this movie. So I wound up giving it a Dean List B. I like this one. And there's a movie that's opening in Chicago today that a lot of people are talking about. Some people have given a good review. I saw it and scratched my head through this whole movie. It's one of the weirdest movies that I've seen in a long time. Called
Is this Mother? Yeah, I've heard bizarre things about this.
This is one of the most bizarre movies that I've seen for a long time. Jennifer Lawrence stars in it, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer. So, you know, it's got a good lineup. And I will say the acting is fine. But it's directed by Darren Aronofsky, who can almost guarantee you some kind of weird story in a movie. But this one, I think, tops the weirdness even for him. Story about a couple that live in this big old house at which strange things and strange people show up and strange things start happening, none of which makes any sense whatsoever. I just saw it. I'm used to seeing strange movies, you know, but at least Pennywise the Clown had the decency of having some kind of storyline or, you know, some kind of cohesive reason that things were happening. This one is a movie where they went, let's make this the weirdest movie of all time. It doesn't make any difference if anything makes sense in this movie. If one thing relates to another, it doesn't. Visually, it's interesting. Acting is interesting. other than that, I sat there and wondered, will I ever get these 2 hours of my life back again for some reason?
That's good, huh?
I think it's interesting, and I'm sure that there are some people who are going to say, oh, it's so artistic, and it's weird for weird's sake. Dean's List F on this one. I did not like this movie at all.
I read they don't even have names in the movie. They just call each other like mother and dude and weird stuff throughout the whole. Is that true?
Now that you say that, I don't think.
If you don't remember anybody's name,
I don't remember if they mentioned the names. I mean, it's not like super weird. It's like, hey, honey, can you get me this? Sweetie, can you get me that? My Javier Bardem did call Javier Bardem is married to Jennifer Lawrence, and he calls her my angel the whole time. I don't think he ever did say the name, but it's all either my angel or my precious, or somehow it became Lord of the Rings, my precious. I don't know. It's an F. Yeah, I hated it.
I don't remember the last Dean's List F.
Yeah, this show is the last time we handed out. Yep. All right. So, question, Dean, are you on the air on Sunday?
I am on the air on Sunday, and we're going to be previewing the Emmy Awards, which are Sunday night. So, you know, we'll kind of set the table for that a little bit. I will be back for that.
All right, buddy. All the best, Chris Kennedy in studio. He'd like to be your next governor, Dean. I suggest you be listening.
I worked on his dad's campaign.
Wow.
That was one of my first. That was one of like my, I believe it was my first, if you want to call it activism, going and handing out pamphlets and things. But my first taste of anything politics was because I was so motivated by the words of Robert F. Kennedy, and, you know, still am a huge fan of everything that he advocated. So,
there you go.
Tell him that Dean says hi. I'm sure he remembers me.
Yes.
And, he's listening right now.
He doesn't want to talk to you, Dean.
Thank you.
Perfect. He's going to grade this segment in a few seconds here.
Yeah, and his campaign.
Yeah, exactly. Passing out pamphlets in the south suburbs. I'm sure he remembers me. Yeah.
All right, let's keep it here. And welcome gubernatorial candidate Chris Kennedy, or as he likes to be known, Chicago biker Chris Kennedy. You're out riding this morning?
I was. I came in early, so it was great.
And it's a beautiful day to be on your bike.
Beautiful day. I cut off once, ran into a car, and I went over my handlebars at Oak Street. But beyond that, it was a pretty good ride.
Well, I appreciate you making the effort. And, you know, I'm sure it was a stunt that we wish we could have seen. Now, you've been at this for a while now, several months now. What have you learned from the process of running so far that maybe in all your years of connected to politics you didn't know?
Well, I'd say this, that I think this is probably the best year, certainly in this century, but in 50 years to run for office. There's so much positive feeling. There's such a notion in the marketplace, in the towns and communities all over Illinois, that people can make a difference for the first time. They feel that they can change the arc of history, both nationally and in our state. And more than that, they feel an obligation to do so. So it's a very positive experience. It's none of the negativity, the nastiness that was present years ago. You know, I started campaigning early in my life, really for my Uncle Teddy in Boston. And there was right after busing had been introduced. And it was a very dark period in history, a lot of anger. You go door to door and people be upset. Today, they're happy to sign petitions. They're excited that somebody's out and running for office, and they thank you. And I think that's a great feeling.
I love to hear it, because positive is not something we hear related to politics in any way, but the positivity of getting involved and making a change is huge, and we absolutely need it. Andre will jump in for one here. We'll take a break, do the big story, and then Chris is nice enough to hang with us through the break, and we'll talk some more. But Andre?
Yeah, Steve, we're going to talk a little bit more about this probably in depth, Chris, but yesterday you selected officially Rod Joy to be your running mate. We're very familiar with him. He's been in studio. Great advocate, a great activist. How do you think he'll resonate with downstate voters who might not know his name right now?
Well, they certainly know him in Carbondale, where he was a star safety for the Salukis, and so they appreciate that down there.
Yeah.
I think they're probably more interested in his role as a great football player, frankly, than a lot of interest in politics. And I think that's true for most people in the state. So he'll resonate there. He's got friends from his activism with Change Illinois. And that really required a coalition that he built around the state. And, of course, the Arts Alliance allowed him to be helpful to arts organizations all over the state. So he's well-known in the communities where political activism was important. And that's a great place to begin for our campaign.
More with Chris Kennedy coming up. Chris, what's the website for people who may have to leave now? How do they find out more about you?
You can Google Chris Kennedy or Kennedy for Illinois. It's pretty easy to find.
What do we have, Chris? About 48 people running on the Democrat side right now?
It changes every day, so I don't know. You got to you give me the count. I lost track.
I love, you know, the tote board's not functioning right now.
I think we're at six, right? Six or seven. Six for sure.
But the two main contenders are you and J.B. Pritzker. He's all over the TV, running nonstop. What's the main difference you want people to know between you and Pritzker?
I'd say the choice is pretty clear. If people want more of the same, if they like the current leadership of the Democratic Party in the state of Illinois, if they want to preserve a system that is undereducating our kids, damning the next generation to a life of economic servitude because they can't get the education to allow them to participate in the 21st century American economy because a bunch of our elected officials act as property tax appeals lawyers. If you like that system, well, you ought to support J.B. Pritzker. If, on the other hand, you want change, you want to bend the arc of history in our state to a different place, to a place where we have the best educated kids in the country, where we don't have to shell out tax breaks and bonuses for corporations to relocate here because they'll come on their own to be around the highly educated kids that we produce. If that's what you'd like, well, help me and Rod Joy. Help me and Rod Joy change the future of our state.
Can you compete with the money that Pritzker's thrown at this thing?
I don't think it's a question of money anymore. Frankly, it's the market doesn't want that. We've had a billionaire as a governor, and we've seen what happens when you make a similar person president of the United States. The country bought into that concept 5 years ago and doesn't want it anymore. It's like trying to sell Beanie Babies again. We did it once. It didn't work. No one likes it. Move on.
Hey, Chris, I thought we were friends. I've got a truckload of Beanie Babies. I was hoping to unload on you.
My kids are beyond that now. You know, it'll come around again. It'll come around again.
Okay, whatever. Andrea, you were talking with some listeners about this Amazon question, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Chris, what should the state do to lure Amazon here? Would that be a valuable investment? Do you like the fact that Wisconsin and other Midwestern states are luring big, big companies like this to the Midwest? Specifically Illinois, though, should CEOs here support that deal? And how do we get bigger businesses here?
I think we should all try our best to bring Amazon here, but it would be great to get an inventory, an accounting of the last few deals that we've done with big corporations. They've made promises. We've extended tax breaks and credits. And did we get what we expected? I think the answer is no. The fact is that in other economies around the country, places like Silicon Valley, Austin, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts, Pittsburgh, they don't have to shell out these types of incentives because the kids there, the high school students are so well educated, the college kids are so impressive that companies are relocating there. When I graduated from high school, when I graduated from college, my friends, we moved to where the jobs are. That's not the way the American economy works anymore. Today, the jobs move to where the highly educated kids are. And we're not producing those highly educated kids.
Okay, so we just passed in Illinois, after two-plus years, the Madigan-backed budget that had the highest tax hike, the biggest burden on taxpayers, I think, in state history. If you're elected, will we see some tax relief? I know those particular cuts can't be rolled back, but will we see tax relief?
Oh yeah. And I'd say this. Not only did we pass one of the highest tax increases, income tax increases in history in Illinois, we then increased real estate taxes in Chicago. That has to be done again. And then we added this soda tax. And through that entire experience, there is no reform. The people, the voters, the taxpayers got nothing. Nothing in terms of government reforms that should have been part of that bargain. It's a terrible system. It's top down. We're crushing the people of our state, and we're undereducating them so badly that 87% of the kids who graduate Chicago public schools are so undereducated, they're called not ready for college or trade school, community college without remedial education. You cannot build an American economy, a modern economy, anywhere in the world where 87% of the kids can't put their shoulder to the common wheel with the rest of us.
You know, as you go forward here with Rajoy as your running mate, you were kidding earlier about people knowing him more for his football than his politics, but realistically that probably is true for some folks right now, and they'll know his politics soon. What's the lieutenant governor's role going to be in your office? Because I've always felt like we've underplayed it, and the lieutenant governor ought to be a legitimate resource for the governor and somebody you go to for advice and counsel.
I mean, you look at the current governor and the chaos within his staff, and it becomes clear that it would be helpful to have another senior executive who's part of the administration, who can chip in, can help where needed. The thing about Rajoy is that no one has the sort of experience that he has had. He has one of the few people, I think, in this decade who's brought about real political reform to our state. His leadership of Change Illinois allowed him to build a coalition around the state that convinced the legislature to pass true political reform in our state. Now we'll have automatic voter registration whenever anybody comes in contact with the state. That's really, really something that Republicans don't want, and it's certainly something that the political party, the Democrats in Illinois, didn't like either, because you don't know who those new voters are. And it's scary to them, and Rajoy organized things in this state and force that through. And that's the kind of leadership that we want.
Rajoy will be in studio with us next week, and we'll take on a topic that, unfortunately, you both are a member of a club of having families victimized by gun violence. He lost his son. You lost a very famous father and an uncle, and it's an ongoing problem in Chicago, and I look forward to talking to him about it. But before we finish here, and I appreciate the extra time, Chris, you know, you're in a situation where every Democrat that has come and run for office here has had to kiss the ring of Mike Madigan, literally and figuratively. What's your relationship with him, and how do you control him?
Well, I don't seek to control Mike Madigan. The governor isn't the boss of the legislature. But my belief is that the fundamental problem in our state is we pay for our education with local property taxes. Every state with good results has abandoned that system in favor of paying for schools at the state level. Every legislator in our state, every state rep, every state senator knows we need to move in that direction. We had supermajorities as Democrats in the House and the Senate, and we did nothing to move in that direction. The reason we don't do it is our leadership is property tax appeals lawyers. They're making money, and they're looking the other way. When the Sears Tower sells for $1.2 billion, when it gets a $1 billion mortgage, and the Cook County assessor says, oh no, it's only worth $579 million, when there's over $600 million in missing value, and the taxes on that are now spread across the bungalow belt, and the mayor and the leadership of our party look the other way, well, it's time for change.
My concern about Madigan, and Andrea, you know me, mm-hmm. I've been very quiet about this, is yes. that his major concern is him and not the people of Illinois, and that somewhere along the way he's lost his way. That's the question in regards to control, because as chief executive of the state, I believe you have to make decisions that are right for the state, not right for Chris Kennedy or Mike Madigan or the Democratic Party. You're the governor of everybody, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and so on. Does the Madigan piece play into this for you?
Well, of course it does, because I think we need to change that system. I think we need to ban elected officials from having outside jobs that are adverse to the interest of the body they were elected to serve. That's fancy language for we shouldn't let our state reps and state senators be property tax appeals lawyers.
Right.
That's just right and wrong in my mind. I don't think there's any ambiguity there. There's no gray area. I'm telling you straight up, he shouldn't be able to do what he's doing. It's not illegal, but it should be.
KennedyForIllinois.com, or give him a wave when he's out on his bike and stop and ask him whatever questions are going on in your world. Be safe out there, Chris Kennedy. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Adam Kevinhart joins us. He's the boss at the digital side with the Blackhawks and, of course, the training camp festivals tomorrow. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you being on. We only got a couple minutes here, but I wanted to give people a sense on the digital side of how they can get involved, even if they can't make it downtown to hang outside for the events outside, because there's a couple of cool social media things happening. There's a GoPro goalie helmet cam, and when the scrimmage hits at 11, are you really letting the fans pick the lineup?
We really are. Joel Quenneville, future Hall of Fame coach, has agreed to let the fans on Twitter, those who follow us at NHL Blackhawks, pick the starting lineups for the red and white team.
Very cool. What about the stream? How are we doing that?
Well, so we've done this in a few years past where we have shown it on ChicagoBlackhawks.com and also on our app, but we've never done it on Facebook Live before, so this is a first for us in terms of streaming this event. As you know, we're lucky every night to have 20,000 fans in the building. Yep. We're going to have 20,000 plus for this practice on Saturday, but there are millions more outside the building that we want to engage and want to make sure that you know, we're stoking their passions and they're feeling like they're part of this. So we're going to interact with them and they'll be able to follow along on Facebook. And as you said, GoPro on a skater, GoPro on a goalie, Snapchat spectacles in the locker room before we go out, on the bench, and during warmups as well, and for the anthem.
And for the Instagram folks, and that's just about everybody, fan questions for player interviews, right?
That's right. Our reporter for Blackhawks TV, Eric Lear, is going to be in the penalty box for the game and just giving fans who are following us specifically on Instagram that unique perspective of the game from there. And then players, it breaks, will come over and actually answer fan questions with Eric.
Very cool. I know how busy you are. I appreciate you jumping on. I mean, for information on everything happening, it's always ChicagoBlackhawks.com, right?
That's it.
All right, buddy. Adam Kempinar, busiest guy in town, getting everything hooked up. He's all social, so you don't have to be. Or so you can be, I suppose, is a better way of putting it. Enjoy your weekend, Adam.
Thank you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Said it many times. You wreck me on a desert island. Desert, deserted, whatever you like. All I need is some Stevie Wonder. Well, some food would be nice. Maybe some beverages. golf course. Andrea, we're in the CLTV hour. We always appreciate the fine folks at CLTV who carry this hour as a simulcast in the 3 o'clock hour with Roe and Anna. And I was watching the Roe and Anna hour the other day, and has Kevin done something different? Has he had some work done? I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Kevin got a new shorter haircut, I believe, the last time I saw him. Kind of shorter on the sides, a little longer on the top. Kind of look you and it. Dave go for.
Dave, I thought facelift. Did you think facelift when you saw Kevin?
Maybe not a full facelift, just a little kind of...
Little nip tuck. Yeah. Little Botox.
Isn't that the proper terminology?
Nip tuck.
Another the typical thing that 27 and 28-year-olds are doing now?
Yes.
The nip, the tuck. No, Kevin Kevin looks great. It's Anna looks great. Violetta looks great. It's Ro I'm deeply concerned about.
Yeah, well, Ro Strong, they formed that whole movement, you know.
Doesn't make it right?
Nope.
All right, so moving on. Please introduce our guests here in studio as my computer crashes.
Beth Burns, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You're on the sheet as a Chicago-based author and national speaker,
yes.
But you're so much more than that. I would say motivational and inspirational speaker.
Yes,
as
I
well.
Am. Yes, I am.
Women and men.
Women and men.
Yeah.
Specifically women because I'm a woman, but my message is universal. Anybody can take the practical tips that I talk about and incorporate them into their lives.
Your book
now,
is,
but there's sure. The thing. I always wonder, how do you, and by the way, the book is called Inner Strength, Outer Success.
Correct.
And out and available everywhere. Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one.
Thank you.
But and she's doing a book signing tomorrow, 1 to 4 at Kendra Scott in Southport from 1 to 4 tomorrow. And it's in a week.
Yes. Sunday the 24th.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you.
So how do you become a motivational speaker? Are you just an eternally upbeat person and then somebody says, hey, you want to do this for a living?
No, it's because I have a passion inside of me that I want to communicate to the world. And so you're motivated by yourself. And I think that when you are a motivational speaker, when you talk, people feel the passion. And that's what gets you to be, that's what transcends you to that position. Because I am actually, I work in corporate America and found a subject matter that I was so passionate about that I wanted to just share it. And so that's how I became a motivational speaker.
But a lot of people will tell you they don't have inner strength, or they don't believe in themselves from the inside out. What do you say to them?
I say everybody has it. When I do my keynote addresses, the name of the title of my speech is Practical Strategies to Being Happier. Mm-hmm. And everybody can be happier. It's because happiness comes from the inside. Happiness is not about the things around us. It's not about the people around us. It's about things we do every day. It's our behavior. It's how we perceive things. It's how we internalize things. It's how we react to everyday situations. That's what makes you happier.
Listen, I don't doubt any of that. But let's get personal here. Let's all admit something on the show that we need to work on. And by the way, you just hit on mine. I have no problem with confidence.
Uh-huh.
I have no problem with enjoying other people and enjoying my beautiful granddaughter and my kids and all the blessings I have in life. But I just find myself in the midst of what should be an eternally happy life, not necessarily worrying all the time, but just going, how come I don't enjoy this more as much as I feel like I should?
Well, it's because it's the way you look at things. You can take a situation like getting a flat tire and say, you know something, this happened for a reason. This happened to slow me down. This happened to take stock in life and to say, wow, is that all? I just had a flat tire. I didn't have an accident. So those are it's the way you look at things. You have to change your perception. You have to change how do I look at each situation.
But what about what you just said too about peeling back a little bit? Because you know, I joke about the fact that I get out of here at 10:15 every day. Uh-huh. Sometimes I'm going to be honest with you, Beth. It could be 10:20.
Okay,
but I have a very busy,
I want your job.
I have a very busy life.
Yes.
I have a lot that goes into this job and all the other things I'm involved with.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like I need to peel a couple things back, you know, because that's something. Yeah. And I think this is true of the phone generation we live in. We don't take time to think anymore.
No.
We don't, that's why meditation is so popular.
Meditation
used to be called thinking.
Right.
Now we're setting aside time to think. And I guess that's a good idea.
Right. And even in my book, I talk about meditation, and that's under the section having a healthier mind, because we all need to take that time and just decompress and train our minds to focus. So meditation is not about emptying the brain. It is about focusing on one thing at a time. And we often don't do that because we do live in this social media just generation where we are always reacting to every ping that we hear, and we're not focusing. So
you know, reacting is a key word, right?
Yes.
Because instead of living life, we're reacting to life.
Right.
And you're always a step behind if you do that. Beth Burns is here, Chicago-based author, national speaker, doing a book signing 1-4 next weekend at Southport at Kendra Scott. And the book's called Inner Strength, Outer Success. Andrea, what is it you would like to work on?
All right, Steve, mine's a two-parter. I think these are the first one definitely, I think, is a female question.
Right.
How do you be more assertive without being, you know,
bitchy.
Bitchy. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's number one. How do you be more assertive without being perceived as a bitch? And secondly, and Steve is going to laugh at this one.
Right.
How do you say no and still have people like you?
Oh, yeah. Get her, Beth. Get her on this one.
He gives me a hard time all the time, the guys do. But how do you say no and people has people still like you? Or should you not even care what people think?
You shouldn't care what people think, first of all. And if you're going to say no, you can tell people why you're saying no. Say, I got to say no because of this. I would really like to help you out, but I cannot because I don't feel that I can give you 100%. Or I can't give you, you know, the level of support that you think that I might be to give you. So I think that you should ask someone else. Ask Mary or Joe or someone else that can help you.
And they'll still like me?
Yeah, they'll still like me. Because you need to do it, you say it with a smile. And
you know what, Beth? I think she missed the part about you shouldn't care what people think.
You're right.
You don't. You shouldn't care what people think. But as long as, again, I always talk about personal spirit. And so every day in life, we have to be positive. Because when you do say no, people are going to take that very genuine.
Okay.
If you are nasty all the time, people are going to take that in a nasty way.
Okay.
So what we have to do is every day, we have to focus on being just beautiful people. Just having a healthier spirit for every interaction you have. Say thank you. Say please. So that when you do say no, it is accepted.
I love that. All right, Steve, I'm writing it all down, I promise.
I hope you were. Dave, what do you want to work on, Dave?
Well, first of all, I have the book in my hand.
Yes, I brought copies of the book.
And one of the points Beth makes is pieces of advice is listen without judgment.
Right, right.
Now, I'm okay with that, but the
one Dave's very judgmental. He judges me all morning.
Here's where I have a problem, is letting things go when I feel I've been aggrieved by someone.
Oh, yeah.
For instance.
Yes, he does.
For instance. Hit the nail on the head.
Well, if I get cut off in traffic, I'll stew. My wife said, "Why let it bother you? Let them go. Just ignore it."
Right, ignore
and yet I'll stew about it for 10 minutes, even though this person's now 3 miles.
10 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just sit there.
10 days.
No, 10
Beth,
minutes.
That's like when he loses a contest,
right.
per se.
Okay.
And I'm setting him up now. So
that's different. Okay, that's with my coworkers, right. my so-called friends.
Right, friends.
So how does Dave let it go?
You have to let it go because most people's reaction are not about you. It's about them. So again, that person who cut you off, it's not about you. They don't even know you. They don't even know who you are.
That's true.
You're just a mindless person in a car. Mm-hmm. It's about them. It's about they're in a hurry. They may not respect people. They may not respect themselves. So most reactions are based on about that person. It's not about you. That's why I tell people don't take things personally. Don't, because
I couldn't agree with that more. 1,000%, because we spend all day worried about what people think about us when we're not on their agenda for more than a few seconds a day, and then they forget about us. And we do the same thing to other people.
Right.
Let it go.
Okay, let it go.
But what if it is, say, a coworker?
That's laughing. Oh,
if it's a coworker,
like somebody seated a few feet from my left right now.
But see, their coworker can be having problems. So this, you should be empathizing with your coworker. Oh.
Beth, you're supposed to be helping me, not opening up more worms and cans.
But Beth, do they still like me?
But you shouldn't care if they like
you. This is the best, Steve.
Beth comes in. I give her a nice plug for the book. Next thing you know, there's a huge fight going on.
Is this considered group therapy?
Right. Yes. This is therapy, yes.
This is all, by the way, part of working through our issues.
Right.
Yeah. Inner strength, outer success. Vanderbilt, you don't have anything you need to work on, do you?
Oh, no. I'm not getting involved with those two.
I don't blame you. Grzanich, you're good, right? Grzanich, yeah, all good. Okay.
No, he's in the hall fighting with someone right now.
He's outside fighting in the hall. Listen, I fully salute what you're doing here, Beth.
Thank you so much.
The book, Inner Strength, Outer Success, Practical Strategies for Being Happier, Healthier, Empowered, Stronger, and Wiser. Get a couple of copies. You know you. You know you. You're going to lose the first one. Murph, set it aside. And you notice I didn't ask Sandberg, because honestly, what did she need to work on? Please.
She doesn't need to work on anything, remember?
So last night, Sandberg, was the big night. Am I right?
That's correct. It was Hot Dog Chicago at the Peninsula.
H-U-A-T.
Yes.
And one of those H-U-A-T things that went on was...
H-A-U-T-E.
This, it shows you how hot I am.
I agreed to it, so me too.
Yeah, you were just trying to move the clock along.
Yeah.
So who shows up at this thing?
Well, it's a who's who of the city, I'll tell you. A who's who of dog lovers. Whoa.
Just put that anywhere.
Sorry about that.
And it benefits canine companions, and we had them in studio, you know, the service dogs that help people that can't do everyday tasks and things like that. So there was a lot of those dogs around, and they're so cute, but they're working, and you can't pet them. Mm-hmm. But namely, my sister was in it with her dog Biscuit, but also another sport reporter in town, Jim Rose, was in the fashion show with his dog, which was dressed up as well. All the dogs wear outfits on the catwalk, and his dog, after he walked down the stage and then turned around and came back, his dog peed on the runway.
Oh, no.
Just saying hello.
No.
By the way, it's the same thing Gian Greco does every night to mark his territory at the anchor desk at Channel 7.
And then there was literally a runway spill.
It was literally. And then every dog that came out after had to sniff the area.
Of course.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
Even when they're wearing a fancy tutu. And Jim, ever the gentleman, though, he did come out with some napkins and covered the area with some napkins. So if you want to see it, it was all captured on our WGN Instagram story, and it's still there. So if you go to the WGN Instagram and look at the story, you'll see it. So
I heard a rumor correct me if I'm wrong, that Urlacher was there.
Yep, Brian Urlacher. He walked in the show as well, and he walked with one of the canine companion dogs. And then,
so he was just like a celebrity add-on. He wasn't there because he had a dog.
Yeah, I think he cares about the – he does stuff for that.
Yeah, that's great.
But he is a dog person, and he held my sister's dog Biscuit because he used to have bulldogs as well, and Biscuit was wearing a Bears jersey, so –
the whole thing is just fantastic.
So it's funny to go to the peninsula and go to the outdoor patio, which is such a nice place to have drinks, and there's dogs everywhere. And then they have some fake grass set up and a fire hydrant. So the dogs felt comfortable using the they call it like facilities. A potty area or something. Yeah. So
now, Dave, you've studied the canine companions literally, not just the organization, but the canine companions because you love dogs.
Yes, I do.
And over the course of your advanced study, do you find the same thing I do, that the dogs at an event like this are going, what the hell are we doing here? I just want to roll around on something dead and sniff somebody's butt. Isn't that what dogs think most of the time?
Well, they do think that a lot of the time, but I think sometimes when they're in a certain situation, they tend to adapt to whatever their surroundings might be.
There were a couple, though, that when they were – because their owners all carry them out and then put them down, and then they walk down the, you know, catwalk. And a few of them –
dog walk.
They don't walk. They stay
– Yeah, that's true. You can't call it a catwalk.
Dog walk.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. The dog walk, yeah. And so they stay with their feet planted in the ground, and they didn't all feel like walking, so they had to get picked back up again to go down the end of the runway. So,
you know, I have a lot of respect for these dogs because, you know, my dog would never allow me to put anything on it. I mean, no clothing, no – like footsie things, no vest, nothing. He just would not allow it.
There was one dog wearing a whole leather outfit. The owner was
From
also wearing an all leather.
Biker dog.
Yeah, it was a biker type outfit. So,
right.
Well, you guys been watching America's Got Talent? They have two dog, acts that have made it like to the finals. And the one act, these people dress them up in costumes of other animals. Like the one dog looked like a giraffe. You know, so it's the weirdest thing. And
why can't
Simon,
the dog just be dressed up like a dog?
I don't know. They're dressed like weird things. And this other girl made it with her dog Hero. And personally, the dog acts, they're not that great. These other people are doing death-defying things.
Right.
And then there's a dog jumping through a hoop. I'm like, really? So anyway, Simon
And by the way, the dog won't know that it lost.
Yeah.
So
Simon loves the dog. Simon will put any pet act through. He just loves the dog act. So I think that's why they're going through.
Well, you remember Tony Soprano would murder a neighbor, but he was always touched by animals. Simon's a mean guy, but Simon has a soft spot, too.
He does, with dogs and little kids.
So congratulations to your sister, Sandberg.
Oh, thank you. This is the highlight of her year. So, and her dog likes to hump me, but she calls it hugging, and he scratched my leg because I was in a dress.
That's not hugging.
I know. I didn't like that.
The love scratch.
Oh, see, you're the same way, Steve, that you make excuses. The dog misbehaved.
I had a dog that would, take on anything. Blankets, chairs, couches, tourists, whatever. I'd eventually get the dog a hobby. Turned out to be a pretty good pinochle player.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, good to have our friend Willie Geis back. Been a couple of weeks. Willie's been crazy busy, and so have we. But it's always a pleasure to have Willie Geis on the program. Willie, I wanted to warn people, especially here in Chicago, if you're traveling to St. Louis today, the former officer Jason Stockley, who shot and killed a 24-year-old drug suspect named Anthony Lamar Smith, has been found not guilty of murder by a judge in St. Louis. They expect protests. They also expect protesters to be peaceful, but they're concerned it could get out of hand. So I'm not trying to scare anybody, Willie, but you know the drill. Just be aware that if you're traveling to St. Louis today, that's happening.
I hear you, Steve. I actually just saw that cross the wires. Hopefully it's peaceful. I'm sure there'll be protests, but hopefully it stays peaceful. I missed you, though. It's been, a month or so since we've hung out.
I know.
Summer. What's going on?
Ridiculous. Anyway, glad to have you back. And thanks. I am so glad you talked to Elizabeth Moss. I'm telling you, I've never met her. I've never spoken a word to her, but I think she may be the most underrated star in Hollywood.
She is so good, isn't she?
She's good in everything.
I wonder if you were The Handmaid's Tale said she's become one of those actresses where her very presence guarantees the quality of the show, because she's a great actress and she chooses those kind of shows. Stars in The Handmaid's Tale, of course, just finished a big season, shooting season 2. She was Peggy Olson on Mad Men. she's had a life in showbiz. She's one of those people, I loved her as an actress, but didn't really know anything about her. She grew up in L.A. She was kind of like a child actress slash ballerina, moved to New York to become
a
ballerina.
So her story is similar to my story of ballerina as a child?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. similar levels of success, too. Mm-hmm. She's cool, very super smart. She's also, you know, you read through her bio and you go, wow, what a career. And the thing that jumps out in every profile you read and say, oh, by the way, she's also a Scientologist. And so we got into that a little bit. So she's got this interesting life of, she was raised that way. Her parents were Scientologists. She still practices, doesn't love talking about it on TV, as I found out. But what a career and a cool actress.
Yeah, and I didn't know this. She was married to Fred Armisen?
Very briefly, yeah. I think they got married in 2009. Were separated like 6 months later or something like that, and has not been married since. So
it's funny because Fred Armisen Fred's a great guy, and Fred's a wacky little dude, and I'm sure living with Fred can't be a day at the beach. But I didn't even know they were a couple, and they were married for 10 minutes.
Yeah, they were married for 10 minutes, and she's respectful of the relationship and all that. But the sort of undercurrent that you get is what you just said of why it didn't work is that he's a different kind of guy, you know, and maybe marriage isn't for him. And I'm sure he's got his version of why it didn't last. But mostly what we talk about is her rise up through. She was on West Wing. I don't know if people remember that. She was Zoe Bartlett. She was the president's daughter for seven seasons.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that was her big break, and then off that she gets Mad Men, off that she gets Handmaid's Tale. She's also in the show Top of the Lake, which is like this huge success she won the Golden Globe for. So she's one of those serious, good actors who doesn't sort of take the throwaway roles to make a couple of bucks. She just does good stuff.
Did she talk about her nose?
No, I didn't think to ask about her nose. What would you have liked to know about her nose?
No, here's why I ask, because I think she's very attractive, and I'm completely serious. I'm not being flip at all. She's very attractive, but she's interesting looking. And there have been comments made about her nose. Her nose is too big. So, you know, there's a lot of women who would go and, quote, get that fixed. Well, as Willie will tell you, there's no shortage of beautiful women who are traditionally beautiful in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they just kind of disappear. I think it's her interesting look. You don't get that repeated.
I agree, and she doesn't strike me as the kind of person who would be very preoccupied with that kind of stuff. And also, why carve yourself up to look like every other beautiful woman in Hollywood? Have a unique look. Be your own thing, and I think that's what she is.
Yeah, well, it didn't work for me. I want to miss it.
You've had so much work done. It's getting weird. No one will tell. People close to you are scared to talk to you about it.
I know. They're concerned if I sneeze, my ears will explode. Andrea, are you equally an Elizabeth Moss fan? Am I the only one on the show?
I am. I remember her from, she was on Grey's Anatomy, one of my favorites.
Is that right?
I know, it's still going, very briefly, right, Willie? She had a couple episode role. She's very versatile, and she was in Girl Interrupted. I mean, she's someone, if you didn't watch Mad Men, you'd go, or West Wing back then for that role, you'd go, oh, yeah, you know, that's who she is, of course.
Yeah, she was in Girl Interrupted with Angelina Jolie and Winona Ryder when she was 16, and I think that was the moment she was like, oh, I can act at this level, and she abandoned ballet that she moved all the way across the country to do in New York and said, I'm going to become an actress.
You got to admire that. I know it's crazy on a lot of levels, but to have talent at that young of an age and say, you know what, I'm dropping my original dream and going for my other dream.
Yeah. And she's, I mean, you can get a sense of people when you sit across them. She is super smart. She knows who she is. She knows the kind of shows and movies she wants to be in. She's not sort of reaching for some other kind of stardom of, I don't know, big movie superstardom, whatever it is. She just picks really good shows, as is evidenced by every show almost she's been on, and they're successful. And
well, she's 35. She's just getting good.
That's right. She's an executive producer of Handmaid's Tale, too. I don't know if people know that. That's a big deal. And she's, I'm told, very hands-on, and she's in on every decision. And so she's just getting started.
Samberg, are you in on this?
I am, because Mad Men was my favorite all-time show. It will always be my favorite show. I rewatch it on Netflix all the time. And I wanted to know, Willie, when some actors and actresses have a problem being associated with a character, like they always want to move on from it and things. I follow January Jones on Instagram, and she embraces my favorite character of all time, Betty Draper, and she will repost things like that. Was Elizabeth, does she mind being associated with Peggy still?
No. No, she's totally fine with it. My experience with that, I feel that way too. It's like, oh, you don't want to ask them too much about the old thing because maybe they want to move on. With something that good and memorable, they feel fortunate to have left that mark. And she talks about it with just total love. You know, she said, I love that character so much. I never thought I'd get it when that script was going around. Everybody in Hollywood wanted it. I went in with low expectations, so I was loose and I got the job. And she just... She was just talking about the growth of Peggy and what she wanted to bring to it and how much it did for her. So, no, she was totally open, happy to talk about it, and looks back at that time with nothing but gratitude and admiration for the character.
Emmys are this weekend. You know, you would expect her to be an award winner there and beyond because of how good she is. But I find this an interesting choice for Willie, guys. I don't know how you guys feel about it on the show. But Willie's got people knocking down his door to be on these Sunday interview things now. So you said no to everybody else?
Well, no. Listen, The Handmaid's Tale is arguably the hottest show on TV right now. It's the biggest thing going. It's in the bloodstream. People are drawing comparisons to what happens on that show and what's happening currently in our streets and in our culture. And so I thought, man, if we can get her, they were nominated for 13 Emmys on Sunday. She's nominated for Best Actress in a Drama. So it's kind of the show at the Emmys this year, and she's the star and executive producer of the show. So I viewed it as a coup to get Elizabeth Moss.
How bad is Joe Scarborough trying to get you to interview him on Sunday?
Well, you know, it's funny. They're doing Joe and Mika. You know, it's the 10th anniversary of Morning Joe coming up next week, I think.
Wow, is that right?
Hard to believe I've been waking up at 4 a.m. for 10 years. But they came to me and they said, hey, Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning, wants to do a little piece about us, Joe and Mika, and the 10th anniversary of the show. Are you okay with that? I said, yeah, I think I go. So I gave that booking to CBS Sunday morning. But someday, if Joe plays his cards right, he might sit across from me for a Sunday sit-down.
Well, and it's nice to throw CBS Sunday morning a bone. I mean, what's that show ever done?
Yeah, they need the help. I think after 40 years, I think that they're a little diamond in the rough over there on CBS, and I'm just trying to lift them up. You know, I don't punch down. I lift up.
How's your dad?
He's good. He's actually working on a book. He was, you know, he's an Illinois guy. He's from Champaign and wrote for the Trib. And yeah, friend of the show. And he's written a book about his summers, kind of a memoir-y type book, his summers working at the Lake of the Ozarks, coming from Champaign, going over there every summer. His Uncle Ed owned a, called the Arrowhead Lodge, a motel where my dad had a series of summers and terrible jobs, including raking out what they affectionately called the chili pond, which was the septic field out behind the motel.
Nice.
Yeah, he's down. He wakes up every morning and writes through those summers. So it should be good. Lake of the Ozarks.
It's a great Bill, guys. Tell him we said hello, and when that book's done,
I will call
us here. Have a great weekend. Elizabeth Moss, Sunday morning, Sunday today, and Willie, keep up the great work.
You too, guys. Talk to you next week.